So I've been busy so far this year, trying to get things done, trying to get out there, trying to spread the word, and trying to be clever. Now, my grandmother always used to tell me, don't try to be clever. No one likes someone who's clever. And I had this clever idea that on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, that I would do a Martin Luther King joint. Even though I'd just already done one, I would rush another one out, and I would, like, sail through it. I would get in that algorithm, and I would just get extra viewers. I would bring extra people to the channel, and it would all work out. But it didn't. It didn't. Because although there was nothing violent about it, there was no derogatory language, Susan of YouTube instantly age-restricted my video, so no one would see it. Now, ultimately, this isn't a surprise, because now she's announced for 2022 that even if content doesn't violate guidelines, and now a violation is just even swearing, and she'll plus 18 that content, even if it doesn't violate the guidelines, she said if it's even close to violating the guidelines, she will make sure no one sees it and that it will have less than 0.5 chance of being seen. Which is pretty fucked up if you think about it, and legally, some would say questionable. I mean, it's like you driving 45 miles an hour and a cop pulling you over and saying, well, I know the speed limit is 55, but I'm going to give you a ticket anyways. Just, you know, because you were close enough. Which is pretty fucked up. Basically meaning no one will see it. So even though in this film about Martin Luther King, there was no violence, there was no swearing, and it was just a film on the Black Civil Rights Movement, she age-restricted it, so no one saw it. So it was a fucking waste of time. And could you imagine if Susan of YouTube did that to one of the big black creators that she's always pimping out and saying she loves the multicolored world? Imagine if she did that to them. They'd be calling her out as a member of the Klan. And she'd be fucking apologizing like fucking then no tomorrow. And I screwed myself because when I do something extra, because this month I had to do the podcast. I don't know if any of you listened to it. My Christmas podcast about the NBC days and me getting locked up in jail. I did that. Plus I did the Martin Luther King joint, and I lost my voice. So I fucked myself. I just totally fucked myself. I couldn't fucking talk. I mean, what is it? I mean, a lot of people would enjoy me more if I don't talk, but it basically means that I cannot create content. So I just fucked. I fucked myself trying to be clever, and that all comes back to my grandmother saying, don't be clever. You try to get clever, you just get fucked. You know, there's a channel that started out just over a year ago, and they were a patron, and they were coming over here, and they were sort of sniffing around for collaborations and whatnot. And this channel now, who admittedly have admitted to me that they're influenced by what I do, they're now doing better than me. They got higher subscribers than me. And don't forget, this is my second channel. Although this channel has only been up for 3.5 years or whatever, this is my second channel. My first channel I started in 2014. Which had a lot of the same content, and that was taken down. Susan removed it. So there you have it. It's censorship, but it's fixed censorship. They pick and choose who they censor. Two people with very similar content, and one is being censored while the other isn't. It's fucked up, but it is what it is. It is YouTube. This is what the platform is. You accept it, or you shut the fuck up and get off it. And welcome to another episode of Getting to Know the Dead. And I am your host, Deadbug. Why, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Now, first things first, I want to welcome all new patrons. Welcome. I want to welcome people who have come over from 1159 Media, who've come over here. What a great bunch of fans those guys have, I'll tell you. And I think that's why I like 1159 Media so much, is because their fans are very similar to my fans. They're loyal, they're fun, they don't take themselves too seriously, and they want to listen to the real deal. They don't want fucking people fucking not saying the word murder or rape or, you know, hiding things. They like to, they're adults and they like to be treated that way. So I think that some big things are going to come up. I'm going to work with these guys, and I got an announcement that I'm going to make hopefully later on in the week. And stay tuned. And because, you know, although I am a lone wolf, yeah, that's me, a lone wolf, I do believe that friends are important. If you can find like-minded people, it's a cruel world out there, and it's a good idea to have friends. And although I've had some very big channels come out of the woodwork and say that they're fans of mine, very big channels come to me and say, well, we love what you do, you're amazing, we love you, but we're afraid to mention you. Everybody's afraid of you because, you know, if we mention you, then, you know, everybody will turn on us. Which kind of sucks, but, you know, maybe that's the way the world is with the cancel culture. The thing that I like about 1159 Media, they're not trying to rip me off. They got their own niche. They're doing what they do, and I do what I do, and we don't encroach on each other's territory. You know what I mean? They're original, I'm original, and we approach it in our own unique way. So stay tuned. Now, for anybody who's an Insane Clown Posse fan, things are coming up. I'm going to be doing some work with them again. I've been texting VJ back and forth, and we've been coming up with some plans. And I made a video, a teaser video this week, that they're going to be playing on one of their Twitch events, and he's going to be playing on their YouTube channel, which is going to help me fight the algorithm of Susan's shadow ban. And we're working on some ideas that we're going to be doing. So I think these all things, you know, whether or not you're a fan of that group or not, I think these are fans that are bringing the channel forward, bringing in new fresh blood, and bringing that spotlight on the channel, which can only do good. It can only do good, you know? I think what someone once said about Pink Floyd, when Pink Floyd made it successful, they said, you know, well, you're no longer an underground group. And Pink Floyd said, well, what's a fucking underground group? I don't want to play to just 100 fucking people. I want to get out there and entertain as many people as I can. I want to become the Phil Collins of true crime. But you know, in all seriousness, I work with people that I like. And that might mean that I might not ever get mass acceptance, but at least I don't compromise. I like these people, where I'm not out fucking hanging off someone's zip or going to every channel saying, hey, I'm Deadbug, let's collaborate. Hey, Mikey, I really think you're handsome, and I eat potatoes too. Let's work together. Well, fuck that. You know what I mean? I want to work with channels that our brands align. Simple. I don't want to compromise what I do. Nothing against other people, but I want to pick and choose who I work with. And I believe at this point, I've been very, very picky. And maybe to my own detriment, and that's why my numbers are so low. But on the other hand, when I make content, I don't think about it. If I want to say fuck, I say fuck. If I want to say ass pussy, I say ass pussy. And I just fucking let it roll. That's the way I want to say it. I don't think, boy, if I say this, they'll age restrict me and no one will see this. But on the other hand, I come about it honestly. And because of that, I believe my content has a very organic feel. It doesn't feel forced. And I'm going to continue doing it that way until YouTube removes me. So anyhows, onwards and upwards. Let's do some news.
Woo! Doggy, some new.
So Prince Andrew is about to go to trial. A prince, a real fucking live prince, is about to go to trial in America. And why do I get the feeling that we're not going to be able to watch it on court TV? How many of you wish you'd been able to watch Ghislaine Maxwell's trial on TV? Hey? Hey? You know why you can't watch it? Because the rich and powerful are protected. If that was you and I, they'd be fucking on TV, they'd be naming everybody you fucking knew. And they'd be showing your underwear as drawers as well, live on TV. And you know that big black vibrator you bought about 12 years ago? The one that you have hidden under your crochet magazines? They'll show that as well, no respect. But Prince Andrew's trial will all be private. This Virginia Giuffre, she's going for fucking blood, his accuser. And anybody wonder why she wasn't in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial? Does anybody wonder why? Credibility. Credibility. Because insiders are saying, including sources that I have, that a lot of the victims believe that this Giuffre broad was also grooming them. And because there are so many inconsistencies in her statements and her claims, that she can't be credible, that they just wouldn't have won a case if she had been involved in Maxwell's. And plus the victims, like I said, they believe that she helped groom. And that these victims who appeared at Maxwell's trial said they wouldn't appear if this Gruffrey or whatever the fucking name is appeared. Because they don't see her as some sort of friend. You know, I'm going to call her Roberts because I can't even pronounce that fucking name. You know, making it try to sound all posh when it's just a fucking brick wrapped in a velvet glove. And it's interesting that whenever anybody questions her, she falls back on the victim blaming. But, you know, there has to be a balance, I think. There has to be a balance of credibility and what she brings to the table. And that's why the prints, they want to see, because they figure she's already made over $7 million. And they want to see her accounts. They want to see, you know, her books, her bank balance to see, do they need money? Do they, you know, they want to find out the motivation. They want to talk to her husband as well. So it should be interesting. It really interesting to her husband. I mean, could you imagine being married to someone who just, she's just fucking going around like he doesn't work. He just lets her fucking make money going around telling everybody how she was fucking drilled by half the fucking New York upper class society. You know, that's how he makes his money. Fucking weird. Really weird. But I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing the details that's going to come out. It's going to be a spectacular trial. But sadly, we're probably never going to hear any of it. But it's going to be coming up at the end of the year. And it's interesting that this Roberts, she's accused so many men that she slept with so many rich and powerful men. But why has none of it gone to trial? Why is it, you know, I don't know why it's all secret. Why don't we know who these men are? You know, it's just really strange. I don't get it. And the ones that she has named, she hasn't brought to trial. Again, credibility. Credibility. So let's see. I'm wondering if this Maxwell, if she's going to start fucking naming names as well to cut a deal. I mean, yeah, if it were me and I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, you guys are going to let me take the fall, so maybe we should share some of the blame. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be interesting, but then are we ever going to hear about it? You know, it's really bizarre because if we get into this whole sordid world of underage sex, I know there's this whole new trend on YouTube where all these YouTubers are coming forward, all these guys, and they're saying that they got fucked up the ass. It's really weird. I don't get it. And it's strange. Maybe I just had, like, I was lucky enough to have a good childhood, but I sometimes feel like I'm the only true crime YouTuber who hasn't been fucked up the ass, and I want to keep it that way. I want to keep it that way. But anyhows, if you are a YouTuber and you do true crime and you were ass fucked when you were a kid, reach out. I'd love to talk to you and find out more. But in seriousness, it is fucking sad. It makes you realize what a creepy world this is, you know? Now, there's a lot of talk about royalty over here as we approach the Queen's 70th year on the throne, which I guess is called her Platinum Jubilee. And I get the feeling that she's going to be giving up the throne soon. And she's going to give it to Charles because she's dropping hints that she'd be happy to have Camilla as the queen consort or something like that. I guess because she can't be queen, so she's a consort, which I don't mean. That's probably just some fancy word for something else. But I think she's going to give up. She's going to give it to Charles, and he's going to be King Charles. But you wonder, is the royalty anymore with all this fucking shit with Harry and Meghan and all fucking, you know, Prince Andrew going out being a pedophile, a prince pedophile, and all this shit and the accusations and stuff. And at this point, there's still accusations. No one's proved it. But you think, is royalty any place in the modern world? Can we really take these people seriously? You know, you got fucking Meghan and Harry sitting there fucking preaching to everybody, fucking, you know, don't do this, don't do that, as they live in that fucking multi-million dollar house, telling us how we should all be good people. And, yeah, it makes me wonder. I don't know if you can take it serious, King Charles and his consort Camilla. I don't know. For me, it's not the same. I think it's of a bygone era. I mean, it's kind of all fucking staged if you think about it. Because there was this friend of Meghan's who said, you know, they showed a picture of Meghan and this other girl when they were teenagers in front of Buckingham Palace. And Meghan was saying she was going to marry one of, you know, Prince Harry and become a princess. And, you know, and she had pictures of him up on his fucking wall and stuff. And you think, fuck, it just seems all fucking staged, doesn't it? You know, everybody's a player, you know. And it's just a game they're fucking playing. And there's nothing organic in it, you know. I think maybe Kate and William, a kind of an organic relationship. They seem to be real. But I'm not sold on Megan and Harry. I just think she's a fucking woman that just wants to pay the fucking bills, and she wanted to be powerful, you know, and she's powerful. She's made it, you know. She's one of the fucking most seen women in the world. And I just think she wants to be one of the most seen women in the world. But who knows? Maybe I'm just a cynic. I mean, maybe she does find Harry extremely attractive. You know, Prince Harry, he went out with some good-looking girls, but they were all that fucking uppity, sort of rich, uptight girls. And I get the feeling Meghan came, and she just got fucking down and dirty, and she made him what we call cock-happy, and he just can't even think straight because he's cock-happy. I mean, she does shit that these English girls would never fucking do. You know, and he sometimes questions her. He says, oh, Meghan, I don't know if this is a good idea. And then she just fucking sticks that booty in his face, and he fucking rams her, and he's going, okay. And Prince Shitstick just does whatever she says. But, you know, again, like I said, I'm a cynic. So also in the news, they're really giving it to Joe Rogan now, eh? They're fucking, everybody's piling in on him. When you're at the top of the world, you're at the top of the world, but when they turn on you, and I think he's good. I mean, I listen to some of his podcasts, and for me, I think there's nothing wrong with the guy. And they're saying he's given COVID misinformation and stuff. And I've never heard that. And, you know, Neil Young, does anybody still give a fuck about Neil Young? And Joni Mitchell, they've withdrawn their music off the streaming service. But, you know, I don't think that's any big sacrifice. I don't think Neil Young was making that much money off it. Because, I mean, he probably makes millions just from fucking FM radio and golden oldies and stuff, you know. Same with Joni Mitchell. I can't imagine too many people listening to that stuff. And other people have sort of come forward with their solidarity, but they haven't taken the music down. And they were going to say maybe the Foo Fighters were going to. I don't see it happening. And now there's this whole thing about he said the N-word in his podcast, and now he's saying I'm not a racist. And I don't believe for a second that he's a racist. I just think that this is the fucking left wing media fucking coming in on him. This is their chance to fucking take him down, and, you know. And I don't fucking get it, because we're all having our shots. Just give us a fucking break. I mean, now, you know, they want utter control. The left-wing media just want utter control, you know. And like Neil Young is saying, well, you know, I'm against, you know, fucking censorship and everything, but then you're demanding that he be removed. That is the uttermost form of censorship. But then you're saying you're against it. All these fucking old hippies, they're all the fucking same, aren't they? They were against it when their message was being censored, but now that they got the millions and they're sitting at the top of the fucking money hill, they don't want anybody else to have an opinion. So stay tuned. But I hope Spotify don't remove them, because I just think it would be so fucking fucked up. I guess in life in general, I just want to have different opinions. People coming forward with different ideas so I can make my own choice, not someone fucking hammering it down to me. You know, it's like Mama Susan. You fucking even mention COVID, she'll fucking take it down if it doesn't fall in line with what her and her buddies want us to believe. Which I just think, come on guys, if you're so sure about your point of view, why are you having to shut down everybody else's? You know, with all this talk about Neil Young, I feel a dead bug impersonation is long overdue.
I'm an old man, look at my dough. Got 74 million, not much more. I live a life in paradise, makes me think of you. Joe Rogan, take a look at my life, I'm a lot like you.
Okay, maybe that's too much of an impersonation. I apologize for that. Sometimes I do get carried away in the moment. But you know, speaking of Joe Rogan, some of his interviews are so funny. If anybody's ever seen the one he did with Pauly Shore, remember Pauly Shore? From like the 90s? I guess he did all that string of movies. I was never a fan. I never liked him. I never thought he was funny. I didn't get it, you know? But it's funny watching him now. He looks like a gay fucking train conductor. He's wearing like a fucking train hat, and he's got a fucking scarf around his neck. And it's just him fucking moaning about how he wishes he could go back in time. He's like that guy in fucking Napoleon Dynamo who wants to go back to the 80s. And that's like Pauly Shore. He wants to go back to the 90s. It's just like that was the best part of his life. And it's just fucking bizarre. You got to watch it. It's like, that's called growing up, Pauly. I mean, you know. But he just like, he has never been able to adapt after his star sort of crashed. And now he just like, because, you know, back then he was banging porn actresses and everything, wasn't he? He was like real hot, high profile for a while. And then suddenly he just fucking dropped out. and, you know, became unpopular. And he, you know, he sort of makes, puts it down to like bad decisions and stuff. But for me, I think, you know, I mean, he was very limited appeal. I mean, you know, all the stuff he was doing was very fucking niche. It wasn't going to last anyways, but he figured it was because he, you know, did this movie instead of that movie and whatnot. But fucking good interview. I'll leave a link in the description if you want to check it out. Now, has anybody heard about this joke that Jimmy Carr, an English comedian, made about the Holocaust on Netflix? That's causing all this furor, that's causing all this anxiety amongst people. It's sort of the talk of the town at the minute. Now, me personally, I can't stand Jimmy Carr. I don't find him funny. But he has made a joke, and well, here it is for anybody who hasn't heard it.
When people talk about the Holocaust,
as soon as he mentions the Holocaust, there's uncomfortable laughing.
When people talk about the Holocaust, they talk about the tragedy and horror of 6 million Jewish lives being lost to the Nazi war machine. But they never mention the thousands of gypsies that were killed by the Nazis. No one ever wants to talk about that because no one ever wants to talk about the positives.
Now, I'm not sure if you guys have gypsies in America, but we have them here in England and they're in Ireland. And I'm no fan of gypsies. You know, they're usually behind fucking begging on the train or fucking ripping you off. You know, lots of stories, and, you know, in Ireland, you know, I had my grandmother, they fucking knocked on her front door and were talking to her and, you know, just trying to engage in friendly conversation. And while they were doing it, they had another gypsy go in the back door and rob her and lots of stuff like that. They're sort of known as being tricksters, confidence men, you know, fucking scammers. They live in trailers and they fucking live everywhere for free. And, you know, I've never had any run-ins with them, you know, and no one, you know. I think the joke was tasteless. It was a bit crass. But is it worth all the fucking hubbub and the furor? I think not. But, of course, every fucking Karen. And you think you got Karens in America? We got them fucking here, too. They're coming forward and saying that we need to fucking come down tighter on YouTube and social media. And the funny thing is that they're admitting that they won't be coming down tighter on mainstream media or anybody like that. They're only coming down on people like you and I. So even though Jimmy Carr, a famous comedian, did it on Netflix, they're not coming down on Netflix. They're not coming down on you know, the TV, the radio. They're coming down on us. They're coming down on YouTube to come down more on us. Now, here's this woman. Her name is Nadine Dorries, and she's an MP. She's the culture secretary, and she's just going to come down hard on everybody.
Restrict the ability of Silicon Valley to limit freedom of speech. Just explain exactly what you mean by that. I mean, are you talking about stopping private companies from doing what they want on their own platforms?
So private companies such as Facebook, Meta, Instagram, those where there is user-generated content and where we know the greatest number of harms takes place, they won't be able to put whatever they want on their platforms once this law happens. No, they won't be able to. There will be, and actually what we're doing today by listing those priority offences and by announcing the recommendations from the Law Commission, which we're accepting as new criminal sanctions, what we're doing is saying, here you go, Facebook, Meta, Instagram, here's what you're going to be facing in the UK when this becomes law. You have the power now to remove those harmful algorithms. You have the powers now to change what you're doing, which is causing so much harm and so many problems. So no, you're absolutely right. Those organisations won't be able to do just what they want anymore. But there are carve-outs. So publishers, broadcasters like yourself, newspapers, they are not included in the bill.
You will have noticed, I'm sure, the comments or the joke that has caused some consternation. One from Jimmy Carr relates to the travelling community, relates to the Holocaust. Is that the type of material that this bill would be able to target?
So no, because those are shocking
comments. So here you have it. This broad is punishing us, the people, for a comment that a comedian made on Netflix. I mean, it's just unfucking believable. So if you think censorship is bad now, oh, fuck, it's going to get fucking worse. And this woman says it with a straight face. No. So there you have it. Some good things coming up in the future. Anyhow, so I think I'm going to get on with my Sunday and let you get on with yours. And this is Deadbug saying see you next time. Adios. I'm out of here.